Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Let's begin. I live in a small but lively town in Massachusetts. Its local legends have fueled my love affair with the paranormal. It's a subject that fascinates me to this day. Coupled with insomnia, this passion led me to spend many a night at the nearby cemetery, hoping to see a ghostly apparition while walking through to pass the time. These outings were unfruitful, void of all activity, supernatural or otherwise. My dream of stealing a glimpse at what comes after eventually subsided, but I continued to visit the graves. It was a place where I could collect my thoughts when sleep eluded me. One night, however, something changed. It was a dark spring evening. I was bored, couldn't sleep, and felt the need to do something outdoors in the cool night air. As it so often did, the local graveyard called out to me. I obliged, unable to resist the allure of its calming nature. Sometimes I was even tempted to set up camp there and sleep amongst the dead. Knowing this would be frowned upon, and perhaps morbid, I settled for my walks. They were enough to make me at least somewhat weary by night's end. After a couple of hours there, I decided on one last stroll along the headstones in an attempt to become tired before heading home. Upon starting my walk, I noticed something. There was a light on in the groundskeeper's shack. It wasn't like him to be working so late. This wasn't completely out of the ordinary until you factored in the large gaping hole nearby, big enough for several caskets. It was a miracle I hadn't fallen into it earlier in the night. Curious as to what the old man was up to, I crept over to the shack, making my way to the busted window on its side. What I saw was strange. Inside were 9 men wearing tattered blue shrouds, partaking in a makeshift feast. The main course was an oily red stew with a horrific smell that permeated the shack's walls and ventured up my nasal passages, tempting me to gag. The men winced when putting it to their lips, save for 3. A tall man at the end of the table and the 2 sat beside him. When the feast was over, this tall figure stood up and addressed the room. "Hello, newcomers. I hope dinner has been to your liking." He spoke with a firm voice. It resonated throughout the shack and beckoned even me to listen. "Now that our bellies are full, Elijah will explain the rules of your impending trial." I listened closely. It seemed the men in the shack were part of a collective known as the Bloodlights. The trial the tall man spoke of was something akin to a medieval gladiator sport used to initiate new members. I listened on as Elijah divulged the game's inner workings, fearful but curious. Two teams were to disperse to opposite sides of the cemetery, each consisting of four members, three blood runners and one blood baron. The initiates would be the runners, and the tall man's henchmen would act as barons. There was one more participant to be discussed, the tall man himself. He was the blood keeper. Though not on either team, he was the most crucial facet of the game. He kept and guarded what was referred to as the blood. I gathered that this referred to the red amulet hanging from the keeper's neck, as he firmly clasped it every time the word blood was uttered. The job of the runners was to retrieve the blood from the keeper. The barons acted as council, overseeing each team and helping where needed. After Elijah finished his lecture, the blood keeper took over. With every wound, there is blood. With every drop of blood, there is solace. Without death, there can be no light. The keeper opened a large cupboard in the corner of the shack, revealing a woman, bound and gagged, futilely attempting to cry out for help. My heart sank. This was not your normal, run-of-the-mill cult ritual. I had to find help, but what if they heard me? Unable to nail down my next course of action, I was immobile, frozen in fear. The bloodkeeper continued. The light of blood can only be seen in death. Pulling a large red dagger out from his cloak, he grabbed the woman and plunged it into her gut. I watched in horror as the life left her eyes. She began to shriek, but was soon cut off by a cut to the chest, followed by a final blow to her neck. I was mortified. After throwing his kill to the floor, the keeper pulled out three vials, filling each of them with the blood that dripped from his blade. This was the blood the runners were after, not the amulet. This is all the blood I have to offer. That gives, at most, three of you the opportunity to become bloodlights. And remember, you are being watched. Those who feel to collect must be disposed of. The same goes for any outsider you encounter. Corpses are to be thrown in the pit. Dear God, I was truly in danger. That's what the nearby hole was for, the perfect hiding spot for a mass grave. You must stop at nothing to obtain one of these vials. All others will be sacrificed. Your thirst for blood must be as strong as your will to live. The men exited the shack to begin the trial. I scurried silently to the wooded part of the graveyard and hid behind a large tree, not wanting to end up like that poor woman. I just needed an opening to escape without being noticed. Glancing out at the cemetery, I saw a runner knelt before a grave, eyes closed. I assumed this was a requirement before the game commenced, a perfect chance for me to make a run for it. Let the trial begin, the bloodkeeper's voice echoed through the trees before I could take even a single step toward safety. My survival still hung in the balance. Using a moonlit pool of water by my feet as a reflective surface, I watched as Elijah and three runners strategized just 10 yards from my position. My heart was pounding so hard, I was worried they would hear it. Between the beating in my chest and the conspiring whispers that filled the forest, my ears were consumed with an unsettling symphony of torture. Just when I couldn't bear another moment, silence cut through the brisk night air like the keeper's dagger piercing that woman's skin. A chill then burrowed into my spine. The puddle's reflection bore no cloaked figures. Peering out from behind the tree confirmed that they were gone. Or at least, nowhere to be seen. This was my chance. Looking off into the distance, I saw a tomb by the main road, maybe 100 yards away. It would provide the perfect cover to escape toward civilization, but there was no way I could waltz over there without being seen. The woods, wrapped around the cemetery, so running from tree to tree, would strengthen my odds of survival. I took a deep breath and braced myself. Without so much as a second thought, I dashed to the next tree on the path to safety and took cover. I then gathered my wits and surveyed my surroundings. No cloaks in sight. I sprinted to the next tree and took another glimpse out at the world. The coast was still clear. As I was about to take off in the direction of my next hiding spot, panic set in as my feet inexplicably left solid ground. My blood ran cold as I was lifted into the air by some unseen force. The next thing I knew, my body was hoisted up and placed atop a tree branch. There, I was greeted by the unnerving sight of my captor, a blood runner. I didn't scream or try to get away. It would be no use. I sat there in terror and exhaled what I thought would be my last breath. Instead of gutting me, the man spoke. "What's your name?" I was too shocked to respond. "Come on now, who are you?" He spoke clearer this time, revealing a slight English accent. "Look, I noticed you at the window over there, eavesdropping. If I wanted you dead, I could have killed you then. I want you to help me." "Help? You?" I asked. "Yes. I'm going to use you to my advantage. I take it you know what we're doing here, and you know the rules of the game?" I nodded slowly, still shook. "Good. With you, I may be able to turn the tables and get the upper hand." I was frightened, but I...
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Calmed down enough to focus on the runner's plan. See that tomb over there? That's where the blood keeper is. My stomach turned. To think, this guy may have just saved my life. "I need you to go over to the tomb and open the door, slowly. The blood keeper will surely take a swing at you. Just as he's about to end your life, I'll swoop in and end his." "But why?" I asked. "That's not part of the game." "Right you are. You need not concern yourself with the why. Just know that if you don't do as I say, I will kill you myself. Now get going." The man gave me his cloak for protection and pushed me out of the tree. I didn't want to risk facing the blood keeper, but I didn't want to perish at the runner's hands either. My fear of dying kept me from deviating. I again ran from tree to tree, eventually making it to my destination, the stench of bloodshed wafting through the air as runners fought for control of the field. With my back pressed to the cold, aged stone, the pull to escape grew. The main road was within reach, but the thought quickly subsided. I was far too worried the Englishman would catch up with me and take his prize. He was able to climb a tree and lift my weight into it without a sound. It was clear he possessed the agility and stealth needed to take me by surprise during a haphazard run for the hills. I sighed in defeat, knowing that one way or another, I would probably die that night. Mustering up every bit of courage I had left, I crept around the tomb and faced its door. My shaking hands reached for the rusted handle and pulled it towards me. Before its hinges could even creak at the motion, the door burst open, pushed from within. The force knocked me over, my head connecting with the unforgiving ground. The moments that came after remain fuzzy. The bloodkeeper towered over me, half of his body in shadow, the other soaked in moonlight. A vision of death there to steal the blood from my racing heart. My eyes grew weary and shut for an instant before opening to see another figure. I couldn't make out who was who in my dazed state, but one attacked the other, completely overpowering them. The prey in this scuffle fell to his knees before landing face first into the cold cemetery soil. The familiar sound of metal colliding with flesh rang through the air as the victor saw to it that the job was done. I prayed it was the bloodkeeper being torn apart. Otherwise, I was a goner. My eyes shut again before unconsciousness finally took hold. "Hey, are you all right?" I heard an old man's voice as I came to. "Are you okay?" I opened my eyes to see who it was. The groundskeeper stood over me, holding a lantern to my face. "What? How? Where are they?" "Where's who?" he asked. "You don't understand. I should be dead." The groundskeeper stared at me, confused, but then smiled. "Come on. You'll catch cold out here." The groundskeeper, who I now know to be Petey, invited me into his shack. He prepared some food and tossed me a blanket to keep warm. Thankful and in need of an ear to fill, I told him everything, despite how I knew it would sound. I didn't describe the men by their given titles, but Pete seemed to know who I was talking about. "Sounds like you had a run-in with the bloodkeeper." "That's him. How did you know?" "His spirit has been visiting these grounds for over 100 years now, I suppose." "His spirit? Incredible." It was all a haunting, something I always thought I wanted to experience firsthand. Pete and I talked for a long while. He knew all about the Bloodlights and their dastardly deeds. Apparently, they were a sadistic cult that formed in the 1800s, terrorizing the local community. Each Bloodlight initiation brought with it more disappearances. They used the cemetery as a space for their trails, burying casualties and sacrifices at the end of every night. After all, who would look for the bodies in a graveyard? Over 50 souls fell victim to the Bloodlights before their sinister games were brought to a halt. During their last outing, an Englishman infiltrated their ranks and killed the Bloodkeeper, avenging the death of his wife who had been murdered during one of their trials. Soon after, his disciples came forward.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Claiming to have been controlled by the Keeper's amulet, alleging that it had supernatural powers. No such amulet was ever recovered. After Pete explained everything, I sat in awe, dumbstruck by the whole ordeal. Had I relived that fateful night? Or did I time travel and help that man fulfill his goal? I may never know what happened that day, but one thing is certain. I will never visit another cemetery for as long as I live, just in case the ghost of the Bloodkeeper is still out there making his rounds. It is told that one day there was a tall apple tree with branches full of fruit, strong trunk and branches. Beside the tree, there was a child playing and frolicking, climbing its branches, eating its fruit. And when he got tired of playing, he would sleep under it, sheltered by its shade and large branches. This happened daily. Days went by, and the child grew up and became too busy to visit the tree. However, one day he returned to the tree, feeling sad. The tree asked him to play with her, and the boy said, "I am no longer a child, and I need some money to buy some things." The tree said, "I don't have any money, but take the apples from my branches, sell them, and use the profits to buy what you need." The boy gathered all her fruit, took them happily, and left without returning. The tree became sad. Note: the translation might not capture the full essence of the story, as some cultural nuances and emotions may be lost in translation. Years later, the child returned. As usual, the tree said to him, "Come and play with me." The child replied, "I have grown into a grown man now. I have a family to take care of, and I need to build a house. Can you help me?" The tree replied, "I don't have a house, but you can take as many branches as you need to build your own house." The man did so, took the branches, and left happily. Days and years passed, and the tree was left alone, saddened by the man who had grown up and no longer visited. Then, one hot summer day, the man came back to the tree. The tree was delighted to see him and invited him to play. The man said, "I have grown old, and I want to rest from the hardships of life. I want to live a period of relaxation. I want to sail far away from people, but I don't have a boat to sail with." The tree said, "Take from my trunk and make a boat." The man took from her trunk and made a boat, and he sailed away, not returning for many years. After all those years, the man returned to the tree. The tree had grown accustomed to his visits, so she spoke first, saying, "I'm sorry, but I have grown very old, and I don't have anything to give you." The man replied, "I have no need for apples to eat or sell. I don't have teeth to bite them." The tree continued, "I don't have a trunk for you to play and climb on." The man said, "I have no need for that. I have become an old man, and I can't do those things anymore." The tree became very sad because she had nothing to offer. She felt almost dead. Her roots had become weak. The old man responded, saying, "All I need and want now is a place to rest. I just need a place to find some peace." The tree said, "These are my roots, and they are all that remains of me. You can sit and find some rest beside me. Sit and relax here as you please." The wisdom extracted from the story is that genuine and mutual relationships between people are built on giving and sacrifice. In the story, the tree symbolizes generosity and unconditional giving, as it continuously provides for the child's needs and desires. However, as the child grows older, he becomes more self-centered and takes advantage of the tree's resources without reciprocating. The tree's ultimate happiness comes from offering a place of rest and solace to the old man, highlighting the importance of selfless acts of kindness and finding fulfillment in giving without expecting anything in return.